Okay, we're in the middle of Shmuel Aleph, Perchav Ches, Pasuk Yud Beis. We're in the middle of a Malbim. The Malbim is discussing how is it possible that this woman is able to, through the powers of sorcery, witchcraft, able to draw down the holy neshama of Shmuel. We're in the midst of giving a number of answers. And the answer that we were in the middle of over here was, one second. He brought the answer from Rav Haigo and Rav Sadigo, that the woman didn't really bring them down, but rather Shmuel, that the woman didn't bring back Shmuel, Hashem did it. And he was the one who informed him. Really was Hashem making, she thought she did it, but she didn't do anything, really Hashem did. So the question that the Malbim asked on that, if that's the case, then why didn't Hashem answer him with the Urim V'Tumim? That was the question they were in the midst of. And we gave one, so in the Musar and Avim, we brought one answer to that question, why he didn't bring the Urim V'Tumim. And then he brings another answer, why he didn't bring the, so that, the, then he brings another answer. He said, "V'yoshi esh tam b'davar." He gives another reason why he wouldn't have answered through the Urim V'Tumim. Im hu hayoshamei min neviim or Urim V'Tumim. If he heard it directly from the neviim and the Urim V'Tumim, that was what's going to happen. If he found out the future from the Urim V'Tumim, and if he would have accepted that judgment upon him, which was not a favorable judgment, so he's saying. And then if he accepts it, it becomes a kapara. He says he doesn't think it would be such a great madrega. As we'll see shortly, what he will tell him, what Shmuel is going to tell him basically is, you're going to die. You have to accept your death. If you accept your death, it'll be a kapara, and you'll be together with Shmuel in Olam Haba. So he's saying, you know what? If it comes from a Navi or comes from the Urim V'Tumim, there isn't going to be much of a Yetzer Hara to not listen to that prophecy, because it's Mamish Emes. You know, when a Navi tells you something, you got to listen to it. The Urim V'Tumim tells you, you got to listen to it. So if he would listen to that, it wouldn't have been such a great merit to that. He wouldn't have gotten such a great reward. However, when he hears these words through a woman who's practicing the Ov practice, then there's already a place for the Yetzer Hara to say, you know what? Why should you listen to what she's saying? How do you know there's anything to that? But if, in spite of that, he's able to overcome the Yetzer Hara and accept the judgment upon himself, then he would get rewarded. So basically, the second answer is saying, Hashem brought it to him in a more difficult way for him to accept it. And obviously, it's not a good news message. And if he'll still accept it, then that'll be a great merit for him. Okay, I think the first answer is maybe better than the second one, but those are two answers to that. Then the Malbim continues himself, and he brings from the Abarbanel. He says another fascinating answer. He says it was a shade, so to speak, enclosed himself in the body of Shmuel, and that's what came. It wasn't Shmuel himself. It wasn't Shmuel himself. She had no part to bring down Shmuel. She may have had some part to bring a shade, a demon, into the world. And we know that demons, in those days at least, were able to take on the appearances of other people. So it was a shade who was dressed up like Shmuel. And they called him Shmuel insofar of his body, but it wasn't really Shmuel. Then he brings the Akedas Yitzchak, gives another answer, that she began to do the activity, and Shmuel knew it was going down below. So Shmuel himself went without the power of the oath. So the mom says to all this, he says, "Ulam lama lanu hatchukim atzumim? Why do you have to come out to all these dochek answers? Every answer I've given you so far has been a pressed answer." He says, "Why do you have to come out to this? Our rabbis tell us in their books that there is something called the oath practice that was even in the times of the Mishnayos and the Talmud. And they said there was such a practice, we were able to bring the dead back to life. Finished. Why are you excusing all this? In other words, there was such a practice. If there wasn't such a practice, then the Torah wouldn't talk about it. And he says in the times of the Mishnah, the time of the Gemara, there were still people who practiced this. So there really was such a practice. And they say about this, that the one who's able, and they describe it. They say the one who brings up the dead, he says, Shahamale Roehu, the person who brings up from the dead is able to see the person. But Nishlan, the one who inquires from the dead, Shomei Kolo, can only hear the voice. That's what Gemara says. That the one who draws up can only see the person. The one who wants it only can hear the voice. And they said like this, Gemara says it all. That if the one who's being asked from is a commoner, the one who draw back from the dead, the one who's asking is a commoner, so the dead person comes with their upside down. Comes upside down. But if the person who's asking is a king, then the person you're asking for comes right side up. Right? And that's how she was able to know that it was Shol HaMelech. Because when she did it, she would see people coming upside down. And for this guy, the guy's standing straight. So that's how she knew it was Shol HaMelech.
Any explanation why this is so?
I don't know.
No.
So they wrote all that because this melacha was known to them and was, alive and well in their days, and they knew all the charms to make that happen. So there was such a thing. So why, clearly the Rambam wouldn't agree with this, but that's, he's saying the Gemara says, well, what the Rambam do those Gemaras, I don't know. Anyway, he says, and if you're wondering how she's able through the power of witchcraft to bring up the soul of a Navi, so I already explained in a different drush, he says, interesting. He says, when a person dies, there's different levels of your soul. So the very holy part of the neshama, mamish, that holiest part, that goes up, and that is, when a person dies, it goes up to Shemaim right away, and it sits next to Hashem in the most beautiful place. But then the lower level, the nefesh ha-hilonis, that is there with the dead body. In other words, you've got the lower level. The lowest level of soul is the nefesh. And that one really brought eternity to the physical part of the person. So that one, that does not leave the grave until a year afterwards. There's different levels of your soul. So the level of neshama, all right, that's the third highest level. That, when you die, goes straight up. Finished.
About the animal soul or the...
No, the godly soul, that is the lowest level of soul, is the level of neshama.
Right.
That lowest level of neshama, that's the part that brought life in a meaningful way, in a spiritual way, not just animalistic life, but a spiritual way to the body. That hovers around the grave for 12 months. And that's what the rabbis say, for 12 months the soul kind of goes up and down. It's not sure where to go. That's the part that's most connected to the physical aspect of the person. That part of the neshama is very attached to the body because it had that connection. So now, and certainly as long as the body doesn't decompose, right, so it's still, part of it. So it's still down. So it's on that part of the soul, of the lowest level of soul, of the nefesh, that's the only one that the Ov is able to control. And the Ov only works within the first year of the person passing. Doesn't work after that, because there's no soul that's connected to this world that can be had. And that part of that lower level of soul has the power to tell the future through this witchcraft. So how long had Shmuel died? Remember, from Shmuel's death to Shaul's, that's only 7 months. So it's only within the first 7 months. So therefore, the real holy soul of Shmuel, that was way up there, and there's nothing to talk about. She could never have any power of that. It was just that spirit that was still connected to the dead body, that's the one that the Ov would have power over. So the original question is, how could she draw down the holy soul of Shmuel? The answer is, the real holy soul of anybody you can't bring down. It's just the lowest level of that soul you're able to bring down. So that's what she was able to handle. And therefore, when she saw Shmuel coming, and she saw that Shmuel was straight and not upside down, she screamed out and said, "You're a king, and why did you lie to me like this?" Okay, all the pshatim are are difficult to understand, and you can pick either one you like. But be that as it may, there was some truth to what was going on over here, and definitely whatever he hears was spot on to what was going to happen. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer la melech, so the king says to her, Al tiri, don't be afraid. Just kimara, from kimara Yisuf, over what you saw. And just tell me, what did you see? What did you see? Vatomer ha'isha, the woman said, El shol elokim ra'isi oilim in aretz. Or could be, you could really say, Elohim ra'isi oilim in aretz. It's not Hashem's name. She says, you know, something godly I saw come from the earth. Okay, what does this mean? So, number one, the Malbim explains, we know that the word Elohim, a lot of times in the Torah, refers to something that's great. For example, a court of law is called Elohim, something that's great, that has power, that, so to speak, emulates to a certain degree Hashem, and has that power. So the fact that he said, I saw somebody, that's great, because the person was going straight for a king, right? But what does it mean, somebody special? So he brings them from Chazal, and you'll see from the different proofs coming up that it wasn't only Shmuel coming, but it was also Moshe Rabbeinu came down. Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama came down. Because really, all the Nevi'im draw forth from Moshe Rabbeinu. And his spirit really, he's the Av Shel Kol Nevi'im. Anyone who has any Nevuah, it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were. Draws forth from Moshe Rabbeinu's ability to have Nevuah. So,
even though it's more than 1 year?
Yeah, it's from Shmuel's Neshama, but it draws forth from Moshe's. Okay. So she saw it in some kind of a physical way. So she really saw two people coming up, coming down, rather. She saw two people. And that's what he's going to say in the next pasuk, as we're going to see in a minute how she's going to describe it. But it's something very awesome. It's not Hashem. Everybody says when the word Elohim is not Hashem. But somebody very great is who she saw. And that's what Rashi brings down as well. She saw like Elohim, Malachim Shnaim, two angels, meaning Moshe Shmuel. As we'll see, that Rashi brings down, that when Shmuel heard that he was summoned, now remember, Shmuel wasn't exactly sure what he was summoned, but he heard that he was summoned. We'll see, bring Chazal in a minute. He says, could be I'm being summoned to another judgment from Hashem. He was afraid. So he asked Moshe Rabbeinu to come down with him. He didn't know where he was going, but he's being summoned to come down. So he was quite concerned about that. So Moshe Rabbeinu came down with him. The Mitzvah says, since it says Elohim, which is the plural, so it also says Olim, which is also the plural. So it's Elohim, Ra'isi, Olim, and Aretz. So two, so to speak, godly type of people, two great people. So, and it really was the Neshamas, on whatever level this is, we don't understand exactly. Whatever level it was Shmuel and Moshe. Somehow, some aspect of their Neshamas she saw. So that's what he's asking her. So he says, don't be afraid that I'm Shol. Al tiri, don't be afraid. Kimara isi, just tell me what you saw. Just tell me what you see. Don't worry, I'm not going to kill you. Don't worry about anything. So Yudalit. So she said, I saw something Elohim Raisi. So Yudalit. Vayomerlo, he says to her, Mataro, what was it? What's his form? Vayomer, she says, Ish Zakein Ola, an old man is coming up. The old man is Moshe Rabbeinu. He died at 120. And then the second one, Shmuel, Vahu Ultemail. The second one is wearing a cloak. And you know that Shmuel was famous for his cloak. His mother, when he was very little, made him a cloak, made him a coat, and miraculously that coat grew with him. He was always, his signature was the man with the cloak. Yeah, that was Shmuel, the man with the cloak. Vayeda Shmuel, Shmuel knew when he heard the man with the cloak, Ki Shmuel, who, that is Shmuel. Vayikod up, Shmuel.
Saul knew that it was Shmuel.
Yeah, and Shmuel knew that it was Shmuel. Vayikod up, Paim Arzav Yishtochu. He bowed down to the ground. He fell to the ground and he bowed down to him. And out of respect for him. And fine, that's what Rashi brings down.
To Moshe here.
And then when Moshe realized that he was being brought down through the powers of Kishuv, he said, I don't have any business with this and I'm leaving. In other words, we'll bring the Chazal in a minute. It's going to be in two psukim. It's going to be. But in other words, Shmuel hears he's being summoned. He's not exactly sure what he's being summoned for, what he thinks being summoned. Hashem's going to rejudge him. So he's getting nervous. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, I'll come down. I'll come down with you. As he's going to bring the Chazal in a second.
The judgment what, will be down here. Or
what? Again, it's a soul, you'll see in a minute. Shmuel is not used to being dead for so long. He's only dead for 7 months. So every level of soul isn't yet in touch with the ultimate reality of life. So somehow, on some level, some aspect of Shmuel's soul knows he's being drawn in for something, and he figures Hashem is coming to judge him again. So he goes to Moshe, and he says, Moshe, come down and help me out. I'm going to need some help. So then, now Moshe's been dead for a long time, so he knows everything. He says, oh, you need my help, I'll come with you. But as soon as Moshe realized this was the powers of Kishuv, he says, I got nothing to do with this. You took me for no reason, I'm back, sorry. There's nothing to worry about, you don't need me. And all that's left is Shmuel. Okay, however you wish to understand that Chazal, but that's how they explain it. You'll see in a minute, let's do another pasuk. And it'll get a little clearer.
It's here in the translation, just as a comment, they're referring only to Shaul. They don't say Shmuel. Nothing to do with Moshe.
Okay, they don't bring all the Chazal. It's the Chazal.
I know, but it's different.
Well, you know, how can you describe Shmuel as an Ish Zakein? He died at 52. So you can't call him an old man. He's an old man. He's not an old man. Right? Tesvav. Vayomer Shmuel El Shaul. So Shmuel says to Shaul, Lama hir gaztani lahalososi. Why did you have to cause me to be afraid as you bring me back up to life? In other words, trembling. You're causing my soul to shake, to bring me up. Why'd you do this? Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul rationalizes everything. Right? He says, Tsarli ma'od, I was under great pressure, I was great suffering. Uplishtim nilchamim bi, and the policemen are fighting against me. Velokim sorme alai, and Hashem has turned away from me. Velo anani owed, and didn't answer me anymore. Gam biyad anavim, also in the hands of the Navim, he didn't answer. Gam bachalomos, also in the dreams. Ve'akra lecha, and I'm calling to you, lo dieni moaseh, to tell me what I should be doing. So the Malbim explains, he gives three reasons. One other thing. When he brought him up, he didn't intend to be speaking to the dead directly. He was assuming that the witch was going to do this. But then he sort of got drawn into it. You know, he didn't realize how powerful this could be. So instead of having the witch ask the questions, you know, and just hearing the answers, he himself got engaged. So that's even worse. In other words, he never intended to do the actual, you know, interaction with the dead, but he got sucked into it, you know, just by natural fear. So he tells, so Shaul says to Shmuel, three reasons why I did this. Number one, that the plishtim, I was afraid, I'm in trouble, because of the plishtim. I'm afraid of the plishtim, number one. And number two, Hashem has turned away from me. Because he already, the spirit of kingship went away from me and went somewhere else. So I'm really afraid. I don't have that godly spirit. And number three, I never got an answer. I tried to get an answer. Now notice he reverses the order of how he actually did it. If you recall, when he asked, it started with the dreamers, then the Urim V'Tumim, and then the Navi. Because he really wasn't there to commune with Hashem. He wasn't, remember this, you know, to seek out Hashem. He just wanted information. So he went with the lowest form of getting information. But now when he says it to Shmuel, he's embarrassed to say it that way, so he reverses it. He says, I went to the prophets and then to the dreamers to show that it was doing it more of a spiritual way. But he obviously, what everybody notices, that what did he skip? He skipped that he did not mention that he asked for the Urim V'Tumim. That was skipped, and that's an important, important concept. So let's take a look. In the Musar Navim, he brings a lot of stuff over here. So number one, he says, what's this? Loma hir gaztani. Why did you make me scared, nervous, shaking, trembling? So number one, pshat. It's all in the Medrashim. Number one, he says, you shouldn't have got Hashem angry. Because it comes out, you've kind of made me into an Avodah Zorah. You're making me into an Avodah Zorah. You're making me go tell you the future. And you don't know that just like Hashem, you know, has to deal with and punish, so to speak, the ones who perpetrate this, also the ones who are served, it's not such a great thing for the ones who served. So you're making me, you know, just like Yaakov Avinu, you know, didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim because he's afraid to make an idol out of him. So you're kind of making an idol out of me. You're making me a tool of idol worship to know the future. It's not actual idol worship, but still, it is a foreign service to a person. You're not supposed to do such things. So it's interesting. It's almost mita keneged mita. Shaul chased David out of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says anyone who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, it's like he worships idols. And we already explained what that meant. Is that you're serving Hashem in an indirect way. So you get mita keneged mita, that he gets so scared that he himself is doing kind of idolatrous practice inside Eretz Yisrael. So it's a mita keneged mita. That's the first shot. But the second shot is much more powerful lesson for us. Second one, as we said, Shmuel thought he was being summoned to din. And he was afraid, and he asked Moshe to come with him. And because when it says Elohim, there's only one person who's Elohim, and that's Moshe. Because the Torah says in Shmos Zion, Rei Nasati Elohim Laparo, see, I've made you an Elohim over Paro. That's the only person that's ever called Elohim. So it's Moshe Rabbeinu. And now Gomorrah brings a frightening Kal Vachomer. He says, so now you figure what you have to worry about. So, a fortiori, Ma Shmuel, if Shmuel, that the Torah says that all the Jews from Dan until Beersheba, they knew he was Neman Shmuel Anovi Lashem. He was the most trustworthy prophet. He was such a tzaddik. And for such a guy, when he heard he was brought to din, he was afraid? Alachas kama kama, a million times more, how much we're going to have to be afraid when we get called to judgment. Okay, Shmuel, what errors did Shmuel do already? How many errors could he have done? And he's afraid he's being summoned to judgment. And his mom is shaking. He's shaking. And he says, Moshe, come down and help me if I'm being called to judgment. See, now you understand why Chazal bring this all down to teach you. Look, why the text doesn't say Moshe. Who cares Moshe came or not? It's an irrelevant detail. It's a very relevant detail to teach you how afraid you have to be of the ultimate judgment that happens. Right? That's what they bring down. A lot of Chazal like that. You know, tzaddikim come back. In a dream to other tzaddikim, and they say, what's going on? I forgot the last story I read about this. Later date tzaddikim, chassidim. He says, what's going on? He says, you should know the judgment is awfully, awfully hard. Is it tzaddikim telling tzaddikim? It's awfully hard. And he says, and especially the judgment on Lashon Hara. Especially judgment on Lashon Hara is awfully hard. Whatever that means. So then, the Musar Nevi'im brings down from the Gemara Chagiga, and that's similar to this Mishnah. She says the same thing, etc., etc. Basically says that same thing. All right, so that's a scary thing to realize. Now, the next thing, and this is the very famous Chazal. So then it says, and Hashem turned away from me. I wasn't answered from the Nevi'im. I wasn't answered in the dreams. So why didn't he say I wasn't answered in the Tumim? So Reb Yitzchak says, "Name Reb Chia." It says the Pesukim Mishlei, "Levi Yodea Maras Nafsho." The heart knows the bitterness of its own soul. Everybody knows their own problems. Shalo Amar Lo Berurim Betumim Hoyel Amar Sheilu Amar Lo Berurim Betumim. If he would have said, "I asked Berurim Betumim," what would Shmuel have answered him? He says, "Well, of course you didn't get answered because you went and killed out the city of Nov. You went and killed out the city of Nov." So that's why he didn't mention it. So then we come to the where's the next one? Where's the famous one? He brings it down later. I don't know why. But then much later in Pasuk Yates, he says like this, because we'll see later on for Pasuk Yates, he says, Kalo Eser Dvar Avera, anyone did an Avera, umizbayish bo, and you're ashamed of your Avera, Moichlin lo kol avonosof, all your averus are forgiven. And how do we see this? So we see it from this pasuk and a pasuk later on. because he says, Hashem, you didn't answer me, and he omitted mentioning the fact they didn't speak to the Urim V'Tumim, because he was ashamed. He was ashamed to mention it, because he realized what he did was a terrible thing. That's why he didn't mention it. So therefore, so how do you know the guy is forgiven? So you'll see in a few psukim, Shmuel's going to say, and if you listen and do tshuva, then you and your children will be with me. What does it mean, will be with me? Meaning in my mechitza, in my place. In my place in Olam Haba. He says, oh, you see from this, that if a person will admit his sin and be ashamed of what he did, that he it's a big kapara for such a person. Okay, when we get to that pasuk we'll mention, but this is what it's saying right here, right now, in terms of the lesson we learn. That so the omission of that word showed his tremendous embarrassment, and because he was so embarrassed, he did tshuva, and he regretted it. It wasn't just stam embarrassment. He did tshuva, he regretted it, and therefore he got a kapara for this. So this one we did already. All right, let's do the next pasuk, Tezayin. Oh no, we still have. Yeah, good. So now Shmuel has to respond to him. He said, "Why did you call me up here? I have three good reasons. The plishim is one. Number two, Hashem turned away from me. Number three, there's nobody answering me." So the next three psukim, Shmuel is going to answer all these three points, according to the Malbim, and said, you had no reason, this was not a valid reason, because you yourself knew why this is happening, and you didn't have to schlep me down for this. Said, why did you serve me? Well, I needed you, because I have all these problems. So he said, you should have seen from your own problems what's going on, and you didn't have to bother me with this. Tesayim, Vayomer Shmuel. And Shmuel says, Valomati Shaleni, why did you ask from me? Number one, you already knew. Hashem sor me'alech. Hashem has turned away from you. Vayihi orech. And now he has turned to orech, your enemy. Because you already realize that David HaMelech has that power that you lost. So the Malbim explains that what's this going on? He says, the fact that you said that Hashem turned away from you, your second point, that Hashem turned away from you, the answer is it's very obviously that Hashem has given existence to the one who contends with your throne, who's David HaMelech. And you see that David HaMelech is better than you. So, you know, that self-understood what was going on. See, yes, Hashem is with David, and he's not with you anymore. So forget it, he isn't with you. Pasuk Yitzayin. Vayas Hashem lo kasher diber biyadi. And Hashem has done for him as I spoke through my hand, as he spoke through my hand. Vayikra Hashem as hamam lo chamiyadech. And Hashem has ripped apart the kingdom from you. Vayitna l'reach l'David. And he gave it to your friend. To David. So, he's saying that Hashem didn't answer the last complaint. The reason he said he didn't answer to the Nevi'im, didn't answer for that. The answer is, because Hashem already told you that Hashem has already, Hashem has no need to answer you. You should have known Hashem has no need to answer you. You're looking for an answer from Hashem? Why would Hashem ever answer someone? Either for one of two reasons. If Hashem comes to you, there's a potential that you're gonna do tshuva. Why will Hashem, send a prophet to tell you something? He's going to send tell a prophet you should do tshuva. If you do tshuva, it will nullify the decree. But for you, there's no way that tshuva is going to nullify the decree, because the decree already is that your kingdom's been ripped away from you. And there's no way you're going to avoid that. And Hashem has already done. The decree is already moving into place. And Hashem has removed the kingship from you and given it to David HaMelech. So what's going to help to bring a Navi? You're going to bring a Navi down what? You're going to do tshuva. Normally, a Navi comes down, do tshuva. If you don't do tshuva, we're going to destroy the base of Migdash. If you do tshuva, I don't have to destroy the base of Migdash. So you bring a Navi because it can stop you from that disaster. But your disaster's already happened. The kingship's already gone to David. You yourself know that. He ripped your garment. You already know that. So what do I need to waste a Navi to come down on you? And sometimes you'll tell him down that maybe you inform him what the decree is. So you could know what sin it was. We need the Navi to tell me what we did wrong, just the second base of Migdash. They didn't know. They didn't know what the Avera was. Why did the second base of Migdash get destroyed? So Hashem had to finally say it was because of you didn't make a bracha on the Torah. Whatever. So I need to know the answer. So that, Pasuk Yilches, says, what are you talking about? Pasuk Yilches says, Kasher lo shamata b'kol Hashem. You didn't listen to Hashem. Lo si sachar na pova malik. You didn't wreak anger over Amalek. Therefore Hashem is doing what it did today. You know what it's for. You didn't destroy Amalek. And more than that. Okay, anyway, what I want to do is, because I'm going to be going away already next week, so tomorrow, instead of doing the Tanya class, I want to finish this parak. We have to finish this parak. There's a lot in this parak because after the break, I don't want to come back in the middle of this. So tomorrow we'll finish the parak, and when we come back, we'll start parak chavtes, which is a clean break.
Good. Thank you.